Was that the signal?
Yeah, that was the signal.
Okay.
It was a like a very horrible attempt at a burp. David, you're off camera a little bit.
I'm off camera. Okay.
Take that.
Oh.
You forgot about zero gravity crippled system.
Oh.
Where our chairs are
so
mobile.
You can take the green screen here and you can make it look like we're on a spaceship.
And then just hang things with string. Hang things with string, but green string, so then it's
Or just fishing line. You can't see it. You get the magic thread like they use, that magicians use to make it look like they have the hovering things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we're going to start getting copy struck from MST3K.
Oh, they never bothered using invisible string. They were way too low budget for that shit. They would just use, like, yarn.
I was going to say, using color-keyed string would work for...
Yeah, so. I'm just saying you don't need to. Just use some really thin fishing line, and you're fine.
And plus then we have the random things
like a
fall.
Bagel floating.
Well, yeah.
Also, we'd eat the bagel.
Can you chroma key out this gray, then?
No.
No.
I mean, that
might actually look kind of cool to just have, like, half
alive.
A wall.
Yeah. Episode 262. That's a palindrome, folks.
It'll be a long. Well, it won't be that long before I have another one of those.
Another palindrome? Yeah, it'll just be another 10 episodes. Yeah.
Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 262. My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Wow! Holy shit! I should chop that up.
No, that was garbage. You don't ever want that intro again, Andy. I know you well enough to know that you hated that intro.
Yeah. By request, we have some new things on the table.
Yeah.
Okay. There are actually some things on the table.
Best crime.
We've actually got a new wall, too. Oh,
new wall? What do you mean? Yeah.
This is a different... Weren't we over there last time?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Oh, Dave, did you have like head trauma or something?
Apparently.
Yowzers.
I don't think those boxes have moved since I moved in 4 years ago.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, no. No, we were here, boss.
All right.
Is this, are you the clone? Your project? Is this what it is? You've made a clone of yourself to try to program him?
I don't know. I've got so much facial hair. How would I tell if I'm the evil Dave or not?
He'd shave.
I don't have a goatee under here. I don't know.
Everyone has a goatee inside.
Yeah.
In their heart.
On their heart?
Yeah.
It's just drawn? Somebody's just getting that...
No, there's actual hair on your heart.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. As they say, people without beards are just people with beards without beards.
Well, that was
moving on.
And people without beards are... Or people with beards are just people without beards with beards.
Beards.
Beards. It's one of those words, if you say it enough, it's not a word anymore. Beards.
That applies to every word in the English language, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, most of them.
I love the no follow-up at all with that. It's just, this is going off pretty swimmingly.
I was trying to think of, like, the best word I could say that would be, like, a word that's always, like, steady as a rock. And, but I couldn't decide to go, like, ironic or, like, you know.
So, like, truth?
No, I meant more ironic, like, you know, no matter how many times you say salve, salve's just always a good old word.
Solve.
Salve.
Moist.
Gazebo. Macadamia. Ooh.
I shoot the gazebo with my arrow.
Bulbous boofunk.
Hey, speaking
nothing
of that,
happens to the gazebo.
Nathan, they combined your two favorite games of all time.
What?
Are you going to sign up to buy a copy of 40K?
40K Gazebo?
40K Munchkin. Oh, boy.
Thing is, I bet you, Nate, you could probably actually have fun playing 40K. No, I think you could.
I played 40K when I was like 12, because 40K is a fine game for 12-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you like dice, and rolling a bucket of dice is always good.
So instead, you can play one card a turn.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
How about this? You can play it with DC.
The fact that he fucking cheated to make that game take longer. God.
Was that the robots and Ruskies or something? Whatever.
Cogs and Commissars, was that?
It sounds like it.
Jesus.
Mecha term and communist term. I don't know.
Fucking A. Like, the aesthetic sure pulled me in, and then it was a trap. It was just a trap. It honeypotted the shit out of me.
I'm just double-checking some things. All right, so there is some.
Yeah, our regulars aren't in chat yet. What the heck?
Well, because we actually started within 7 minutes of the scheduled start time.
That's true.
Which the regulars are aware that we never do.
We're early by nature of being less late.
Yeah.
I should just secretly just start posting it at 6:15, but then I think people on the podcast will get word that we're posting at 6:15 and rolling at 6:16.
No, I have my wife well trained to kick me out of the house by 5:30.
And I, you know, have myself well scheduled where I'm, you know.
Well, you don't work on Sundays
right,
anymore.
And so I do my thing, and then I'm done with my thing, and then I come here.
Yeah.
So unless I purposely just dicked around for an hour, I can't be late. I was outside your house at like 5 o'clock.
So your thing never takes too long?
My thing never takes too long. Yep. So it always takes the exact right length for everyone involved.
It's a little harder in the cold, though, because the hands are cold. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you're outside his house for an hour? Did you do the thing where you're looking in the doorbell?
Not as far as you know.
Oh, God. That's. Have you seen that video?
No.
So there's
a doorbell.
Okay, you know how people have Ring... You know, it's the camera that they put on outside to not catch all the people stealing their...
Right. to get to watch packages. The people you're never going to catch, take the package you're never going to get back.
But, there's somebody who looked at their Ring over a night and...
Yeah, well, no, so they were in Los Angeles. The couple was out to dinner. Their kid was home sleeping. And they're getting all these Ring notifications eventually, you know, because they were being a good couple on a romantic date, ignoring their phones.
Sure.
Eventually, one looks at it and sees that they have 3 hours of notifications on Ring. And they look at it, and this is this guy standing outside their house licking their doorbell.
Just licking the doorbell itself for 3 hours straight.
No, he walked away at one point to go pee in their bush.
Oh.
Why?
Drugs.
I don't know.
He was, what the police reports say, he was known to the LAPD.
as a doorbell licker?
Yep. Like, can you imagine like having to explain to yourself, it, like when you're in prison, you know, when you are going to jail, they wouldn't probably send somebody like
He's
that to prison.
In the they, ward.
But maybe.
They will send you to that Group W bench is what they will do.
The what?
The Group W bench.
I don't know the Group W bench.
That's an Alice's restaurant reference.
Alice's
restaurant.
As in, like, with, like, Mel, the cook from
no.
Alice?
No. Alice's Restaurant is an Arlo Guthrie song. Yeah. It's a Thanksgiving classic
that
talks about the Group W bench.
Between 5 and 10 minutes too long, but yes.
Well, it depends if you just listen to the first half. No, it does not go too long, because, yeah, that looks like a guy who will lick your doorbell for 3 hours. No. Both halves of the massacre are exactly the length they need to be. It's like 2 10-minute stories. It's the story about when he tried to take out Alice's garbage, and then the story about when how he was being drafted into the Vietnam War, and how those two stories relate to each other.
I don't know this.
It's classic.
Yeah.
Don't know it, but I know the cook from Alice. His name is Mel.
Yeah, no, that's different than unrelated. Alice's restaurant.
But it. I think it was Alice.
Alice's restaurant is not the name of the restaurant.
It was Mel's Diner, but
the
show was named Alice.
Yeah, okay, that's
it was Mel's Diner. Yeah. Alice's restaurant is completely
correct.
Because Alice didn't own the restaurant, it was Mel who owned it.
Right. Alice owns Alice's restaurant, but Alice's restaurant is not the name of Alice's restaurant. It's just the name of the song, which is why we call this song Alice's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here we're having further discussions about media our grandparents consumed.
I had to listen to that song in college a lot because my roommate loved it.
My grandmother loved the show
every
Alice.
Thanksgiving.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
We figured one big pile is better than two little piles, and rather than bring that pile up, now I'm just going to start reciting the whole thing, which I won't do.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen or heard it.
Yeah.
When you have
Woodstock era hippie song
and
its sequel. Because like I said, it's Nam. You know, it talks about Vietnam.
Hmm.
A typical case of American blind justice and the Group W bench.
What does that stand for, then?
The Group W bench?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they put all the stuff that aren't moral enough to go kill women and children overseas. And he gets put there because he was a litter bug. He gets put with all the mother stabbers, father stabbers, mother rapers, and father rapers on the Group W bench.
I mean, there are standards involved here.
Yeah. They weren't sure he was moral enough to go overseas and kill women and children in villages after being a litter bug.
I don't understand this song.
It was an interesting time.
The basic gist is that in the first song, he goes to visit his friend Alice, who has a restaurant. And she lives in a church. And
does she work? She works at Mel's Diner.
No. This is a different
house. Actually, I'm going to let you finish, but Andy, first you need to go smoke a whole bunch of weed.
Yeah, a lot of weed is required for this to make sense.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I
mean, that describes most of the 60s and early 70s as well.
That's everything Arlo Guthrie ever recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever listened to anything by...
It's not Mel's Diner, you son of a bitch. It's Alice's restaurant. You're timestamping it wrong. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
This is going to post tomorrow, and then Andy's just going to die.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. I was hoping it had been an hour and a half already.
Nope, it's only been like 10 minutes.
Flip!
Yeah, nobody in chat, which is always good.
Announcements tomorrow / today, once this is posted, y'all best get your ATC list posted, motherfucker.
So is it actually at the end of the day?
It's midnight? Monday, at the end of the day, Monday, midnight so, Central Standard Time.
Midnight is Tuesday, though, so would it be 11:59?
Technically, yes.
At 11:59 and 59.99999 seconds, it is still valid.
Or whatever.
So you are no longer allowed to submit your lists as of the minute that midnight happens at the end of the day on Monday, which then means once it becomes Tuesday, it is too late.
What about 2 minutes to midnight?
2 minutes to midnight? That's a good
show,
song,
right? Yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
It's an Iron Maiden song.
After midnight.
No, that's an Eric Clapton song.
No, that's a J.J. Cale song. Eric Clapton just covered it.
Like most of Clapton's good
songs. Yeah. It doesn't. Well, okay. So I mean, the version that I know the best is the one that Eric Clapton did.
So no, that's one of the songs on the list of epic covers, because not only did Clapton cover it, he then covered it again in a completely different style because he's Eric Clapton and just doesn't like writing songs.
That's why, despite being Eric Clapton, his only number one hit ever was a cover. Not even the song about his dead baby made it there.
We should do a topic sometime where we talk about how songs have changed meanings in films.
I was waving hi to Raven in chat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the subject of Eric Clapton, is like if I hear Layla and I hear the extended version, I can't help but think of Goodfellas, because that's like the big classic sequence where just everybody dies.
Well, sure,
during
it's like
that.
Nobody can listen to Clowns to the Left of Me, Jokers to the Right anymore without thinking about torturing
Stuck
a cop
in the
to
middle
death.
With you, with
yeah. By I mean Steelers that's just wheel. Your torture a cop song.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
All right.
Good topic. Glad we went over that.
Well, I was talking about it in the future.
Two great examples.
It's basically the only examples I can think of right now as well.
Oh, there's got to be other examples. Like, I can't think of the song Daisy about the tandem bicycle without thinking about slowly murdering a homicidal artificial intelligence.
Yeah, because that's 2001.
Yeah. It's a good sequence.
So I did watch all of Night Flyers. I made it to the final end of Night Flyers. It's the final end. They're continuing it. It's annoying because it's such a, from my understanding, it's a novella that was written from or derived from, and they went through a lot in the show.
Sure.
And it didn't end very well. If there's another season, it would probably be fine, but yeah. It's an interesting show.
Okay,
I don't want to talk about it.
We're
going to
have an Aquemen situation here where only one of the four people at the table has watched this thing, so we can't have a meaningful conversation.
Probably.
Have you guys still not watched Aquemen?
Nope.
Good. No. Well done, guys.
What's Aquemen?
Aquemen. It's the story about that guy, and he swims and talks to fishes.
Oh, Aquemen.
Oh, is that how you... my Latin training, I was just pronouncing it Aquemen.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen it. I'll wait till it's out on video.
I haven't seen a movie since we last casted, so no, I have not seen it.
So you didn't watch Spider-Verse?
I've watched Spider-Verse.
Yeah, but you didn't watch it again? I watched it again since we last casted.
Why don't you tell me? I would have watched it with you.
I just got off of work, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to watch Spider-Verse. So I just watched Spider-Verse.
I would have gone with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is it still playing at the IMAX? Because I want to drag my wife out to see it at the IMAX.
I don't know. They probably put equipment on the IMAX, or maybe the Bumblebees.
Yeah. I saw that when I was looking at movies this week, there wasn't really anything that really...
Fuck you, it's January. Yeah. I mean, we are in full-on fuck you, it's January.
Hollywood blew its load in December. It's going Correct. To be... there's a refractory period.
There's
now.
Nothing good until Punch an Old Lady comes out.
It would
I think
be
that's in February.
It would be amazing if both Captain Marvels came out on the same time with Shazam and Captain Marvel. I think that would have been amazing. I'm actually really still excited to see Captain Marvel and Shazam.
Yeah, no, they both look good.
Yeah, I'll definitely be seeing Captain Marvel, maybe Shazam. We'll see.
Meh.
Yeah. Well, Dan's anti-superhero anyway.
Yeah.
Actually, Dan is that not is... anti. Sorry, I may have misspoke. You are ambivalent
yes.
to superhero
Correct.
Films.
Yes.
However, something I am excited about, they started announcing the new Dune casting.
Yes.
And every cast member announced so far is so good. So good. So good. Did you see who's playing Beast Robin?
That's, I don't know who Beast Robin is.
So you know Fade?
Oh my God, you
Fade,
heretic.
Who was played by Sting in the old one with the G-string. His tough
brother.
Not necessarily, okay. Well, I mean, gross brother.
No, he's the tough
he's
one.
The
Beast
tough
is the tough one.
Yeah.
He
I mean,
put
Beast
all
is the muscle.
His stats in God.
Yeah, Beast is the muscle. He's the one that's actually running Arrakis, technically.
Sure. That's a
brutal
dictator.
That's Beast Rabin. Yeah. And he's being played by Dave Bautista.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that is inspired.
What is this?
Stellan Skarsgård is playing Baron Harkonnen.
Okay, yes.
And that'll be a great take, because they can go less just insanely over the top like David Lynch did, because his shit in the Girl with the Various Whatevers movies is good.
I really liked, I never read any of the books at all, but visually I've always liked Baron Harkonnen.
No, you should at least read Dune. The rest of them, I mean, the couple after Dune are optional, and the ones after them are, the ones after the first three are
should
actively,
not be spoken of.
Yeah, are actively discouraging you.
And that is the best Dune. I will ever do. I will admit there's more than one.
They are fine if you're the kind of person who likes batshit insane what the hellism.
Yeah, but
like
Dune,
if you unironically enjoyed the David Lynch Dune entirely, you might enjoy the fourth and on books.
Well, I enjoyed the David Lynch. I enjoyed
the
David
Frank
Lynch Dune
ones. After Frank died and Brian took over, then I would sever all ties.
Now, I enjoyed the David Lynch Dune and would not suggest reading more than the first three books.
Like actual, unironically, think that stuff like the way they handled the poison hostage situation with Thufir made sense.
Well,
I didn't say it made sense. I said it. I liked it. There's a difference there.
Hey, I mean that movie is great because I can't think of any other movie where you can tell exactly when they ran out of money.
That's true. Attack Megaphones? Attack Megaphones?
Well,
David?
Hey, come on. Attack Megaphones makes sense only because of when it came out. Because, let's be honest, Hollywood was not ready for Matrix-style martial arts in 1984.
Yeah. Sure, that's fine, but, like, attack megaphones that are more or less strong depending on the word you shout into them? And
I mean,
the killing word?
But
what?
There's shit like that already in the Dune universe.
Yeah.
Well,
Dune universe is already pretty fucking weird. So, yeah, it's not,
that,
I mean...
That's honestly, like, my favorite part of that film. Seriously, with them riding the sandworms and doing
the
voice
the sandworms,
and that,
the
music
I mean, no,
going
the,
on.
The weirding modules are not in the book at all. That was completely...
The,
the
megaphones.
Yeah, when they had the little devices that they shouted and projected force, those aren't in the book.
But they're riding the sandworms.
The
cheesy 80s music. It actually says in the book, insert cheesy 80s music here.
It wasn't cheesy 80s music.
Oh, it was cheesy 80s music.
No, the music that was in there? No, that was more...
That was
orchestral.
Like the second best thing Toto's ever done.
Haven't seen Dune in a while.
I mean, it isn't like they took Take on Me by Aha and just played it. Like, it is orchestral stuff, but it's kind of like how you can tell that Thor Ragnarok is Devo music, even though it's new music that's more orchestral, but it has that Devo feel to it. You can tell that this is Toto music, even though it's not a Toto song. I know it's not full on Devo, it's just Mark Mother's bow in it, but you get my point.
Maybe I remember less synthesizers than I think. I remember the like.
It is also probably the heaviest stuff Toto has ever done.
Yeah, but it is.
It's Toto.
That's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
No, like I said, I enjoyed that soundtrack.
That whole sequence is probably my favorite sequence of that film.
He is the Quizzact Hatteract. I'll just unplug your heart plug. Why do those exist? Bye.
Yeah.
Nathan, weren't we gonna eventually do cosplay as the Dune Warriors? We're gonna get the cardboard boxes.
Yeah, for the shields.
For the shields, yeah.
Yeah, no, we were gonna cosplay as those two guys from Dark Knight Returns, or not Dark Knight Returns. The Frank Herbert, Frank Miller.
What? Yeah. What about Frank Miller?
There's the two goons like Bob and Joe.
Oh. Yes.
They completely changed their outfits and gang affiliation like every chapter.
Yeah, but it's the same two guys.
Yeah.
Like, because we were talking about how we were going to be those two guys.
Yeah.
I still say I want to cosplay sometime with four friends and do human versions of. So basically just the outfits and personality for the Toon Patrol.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Teletubbies.
No, the Toon Patrol, man. Like, the fun. You got the straight jacket and the beanie and the zoot suit and the, yeah, the weasels.
Oh, yeah. Weasels.
Judge Doon's weasels, the Toon Patrol. I would love just dressing up like those guys, but not as weasels, like, because I'm not a furry, but just the actual costumes.
I could get into that. I want a zoot suit.
You'd be the guy with the beanie, David. Come on.
I want a purple zoot suit.
Consider myself probably to be the straight jacket beanie guy.
Okay, straight jacket and beanie were two different guys.
Oh. Yeah.
There was the guy with the beanie and the striped shirt and the baseball bat who was the big dumb one. And then there was straight jacket who was the crazy guy with the switchblades. And I totally called dibs on straight jacket. Mm-hmm. And then the other three wore suits of varying kinds. And there was green and black and purple.
I was going to say purple, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got dibs on purple.
Because there was the smoker, and then there was like just the greasy guy. Yeah. There was originally going to be seven of them because they were going to play on the Seven Dwarves. And
sure.
So there's going to be like wheezy and crazy and whatever, but then they pared it down. True Trivium.
Not the band, though.
What?
Trivium, the band.
There's a band called Trivium?
Yes.
That's an interesting Trivium.
But they're kind of like a... They almost kind of sound like a Metallica.
That's one of those singulars you don't hear enough. Like Graffito and Paparazzo.
Yeah.
You only ever hear the plurals.
And Datum.
Yeah. Datum? Barely even knew him.
Wow, that's just... Yeah, finger guns don't go well over a audio podcast.
Okay, there's an issue with these chairs.
There's no issue with these chairs. You just push off a little bit and...
Oh, my God. What did you just break?
I just ran over cat book.
You ran over all the shit that's supposed to be on the table.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rodimus Prime, Best Prime, right there. Him and Optimus Primal. All right. True story. What the hell?
Do we have anything else? And that's announcements.
All right. So, Bew is saying thanks for updating the Steamroller sheets to say 2018 Steamroller. I got to say, it wasn't just updating it from 2017 to 2018. I completely rewrote that because I got sick and tired of seeing all over Facebook people having pictures of their sheets at events and how ugly the old form was. Because I think the new sheets actually look nice beyond just changing 2017 to 2018. They look a lot nicer, and since it's all generated in PDF, so it's not dependent.
It actually works.
Yeah, it actually works because it's not dependent on how whatever your browser decides to. Your browser, your operating system, and your printer driver all arguing together on how to print everything out. So it actually looks consistent. And
but does it work in Edge?
Fuck you.
Can you hold on 1 second? I want to do a quick test. It's going to be annoying to everybody.
Uh-oh.
Okay, good.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to find out, because last time the sound actually looked that good on the screen there is when it was recording through the audio of the laptop instead of the audio of the mixer. And I was like, this looks really good. And then I made noise on the microphone, so then it only showed up in there.
I've already had another couple of requests, and I will look at Edge at some point, because Edge has now creeped above the Wii U browser in popularity.
I mean, it's fine. They're getting rid of it anyways. Like,
is Microsoft getting rid of it already?
Yes, they are junking that for a Chromium-based browser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are finally coming to terms with the fact that nobody gives a shit about any browser they ever invent. Fuck off.
Yeah, I'm annoyed that it's automatically installed on my machines. Yeah. It's like, I will use Edge to download Chrome. Thank you.
Well, it is a good default PDF reader as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that. I do use Edge to read PDFs because Edge's PDF viewer is not, it is not as accurate as Chrome's, but it is much, much faster. Yeah. So for complex documents, I use Edge to view it in because when realistically, most of the time what I want for a PDF is responsiveness, and Edge is the best PDF viewer for that.
And I will say, as annoying as it is that they pre-install their terrible web browsers, it was bullshit back in the 90s when the antitrust stuff forced Microsoft to install like Netscape and all that other stuff on Windows PCs in addition to Internet Explorer. Because if you buy a car and it doesn't have to come pre-installed with 10 different radios, otherwise it's a monopoly of the one radio they have in there. You have the ability to install whatever radio you want. You have the ability to download whatever web browser you want.
The problem with that was is Windows or Internet Explorer 4, which was integrated specifically with the system itself.
Okay,
you can still download Firefox and use it.
But I mean, it'd be like buying a car, and then they force their own. I mean, I don't know. They force their own engine.
The other problem is something that you can't swap out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to argue with that because at the time that happened, at that point, a browser was effectively a necessity of a modern operating system, and furthermore, to the point, not just having the browser as a separate program you launch, it is a core service for programs running in the operating system. Is just that for a lot of programs, you have to be able to say okay, I need HTML rendering in this window, and so
that was after they integrated Internet Explorer 4 into it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Before then, they didn't have that.
Yeah, but I mean 100%. I mean, I'm not saying that Microsoft hasn't been a terrible, hasn't had terrible business practices in the past. They seem to be a lot better now than they used to be.
Yeah, I don't.
You can't a CEO.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they did this for good reasons, but I'm saying that as a software engineer for 20 years, 100% the ability to call up a system integrated browser is something you want in an operating system.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I remember
a technically sound but tone-deaf decision made worse by supreme arrogance on Bill Gates' part, where he basically tried to bury the regulators in so much legal red tape that it snapped back on them.
Yeah. I just remember them, or remember us over at where we worked at for IT, swapping out, having in Windows end up using like Netscape for its core operating system.
Sure, but you could. But you could download it if you wanted to anyway.
I'm talking like actual, like when you're going to go into Windows itself, it was using Netscape as its shell instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my point is like you don't force cars to have six. Like of course a Ford car is going to have a Ford engine in it. Like that's not monopolistic. If I want to replace it with a different part, I can after I purchase the car. But Ford wasn't forced to have six different manufacturers' mufflers on their car. Otherwise, it's a monopoly on mufflers. The Ford car has a Ford muffler. You can replace it if you want to.
Yeah.
And it annoyed me that the web browser wasn't treated that way just because the lawmakers didn't understand how computers work.
Yeah.
Microsoft browser comes in with the Microsoft operating system.
That's probably the major part of that whole conversation. Oh, sure. Is that lawmakers don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you say I say bad things, it shows up on the Google?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
why does this, when I look up this person, the first result is idiot? I don't understand.
No, it's the other way around. It's what's the first result when you search for idiot?
Oh, okay.
Why is white supremacist a bad word?
Well, it's like the one that kept asking.
That is an actual news headline.
The one who kept asking the Google CEO to explain how his iPhone works.
Same guy.
Yeah. And it's like, can this phone know where I am? And they're like, well, it depends what privacy settings you have on. Just answer the question. He is. You just are too dumb to understand the answer.
Yeah.
It's a series of tubes. It's not a big truck.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned in chat, does Google understand if I walk over here?
Does it know? On your privacy settings, but it can or it might not.
And the correct answer is Facebook does know. Because They are just flat evil. But functional.
Ish. To an extent.
Well, but, I don't know. I mean, Facebook seems to be in that point that it has achieved peak usability, and they're just slowly slipping down because it's like every major update makes it worse.
I mean, when you have 2 billion users, how do you make any update without making it worse?
Yeah, I mean, chat just seems to get worse every time they update it.
It was interesting. I did see someone make a comment about part of the reason that no one knows what to do about Facebook is, but with the possible exception of the Catholic Church, there has never been a single organization with that much reach, and people just don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
We could talk about news going and happenings.
To promote himself to Pope, then.
I mean, maybe he. Given Facebook's current political stances, he probably protects just as many child molesters.
That was a good one.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Fucking hot take. News. Hey, that chick wasn't dead. More news.
What chick wasn't dead?
That's Wisconsin. The one. You're a Wisconsinite. The girl. She's not
Jamie
dead.
Jamie Kloss. So there was about a month ago, month
like
and a half ago.
Girl, her month, you mean were, October 15th.
Yeah, in October, her parents were murdered and she vanished.
Yeah.
They just found her like a couple days ago,
oh,
alive.
Okay. I didn't hear that.
In some dude's cabin. And that's what the dude looks like, to no surprise.
Oh, yeah.
I will give him credit. He was smart enough to shave all of his body hair off before abducting her.
Yeah, but I mean, he's wearing serial killer glasses in that picture.
Well, that could be just the glasses given to him by the
sure. It's like the BCGs by you get in the military. Yeah. Those are just prison glasses.
But yeah, no. So in Wisconsin, there was a gal that was Nathan just explained it. So.
I did. But yeah, that's that news. I don't know what other news is there.
Our favorite November event is changing.
Oh yeah, Warfare Weekend.
Yep, Warfare Weekend. So War Machine Weekend is. Going the way of
Carl.
Yeah. It's basically just staying with Carl. And there's going to be a new Warfare Weekend going on at the same time.
Which, I mean, a couple of years ago, they tried having Malifaux there.
Malifaux, right? And Gilball was
and
there
Gilball.
As well.
And that kind of, meh.
Well, there was, at the time, there was people reeling from, I think, Mark II blowout. Mark II blowout and Mark III beginning.
Yeah, unfortunately, that War Machine
Weekend.
Well,
that's happening to Malifaux now.
Let's say that War Machine Weekend was the height of the fuck War Machine play Gilball movement.
Yeah.
Which was hot bullshit. I wanted to punch so many people in their throats for that entire year. I mean, it was infuriating.
That is the number one reason it took me an extra 3 years to start playing Gilball.
I have never wanted to play a game less than Guild Ball because of all of that shit.
But yep. They're all gone now. They've all moved on.
Yep.
No.
They actually have all moved on. It's pretty awesome.
I checked
awesome
with Andy
now.
Before I started playing. Yeah, I actually had a list of people.
Yeah, because those kinds of people are always going to be like that.
Yeah, they're toxic in the War Machine environment. They're toxic over in Guild Ball, and now they're gone and that's
toxic
good.
Somewhere else.
Yep.
But yeah, we are also for the Warfare Weekend. We are trying to set up get a little bit more. Advanced in terms of data collection and data updating of that for the events and forcing rule sets for the qualifying events.
Well, my point was that the only reason to change the name is to try to do that again.
Yeah.
So my guess is the coming War Machine Weekend or Warfare Weekend, there will just be an attempt to have more different games being played.
My understanding is that the... license to use the trademark was exclusively with Carl, and so if Carl is not with it anymore, they can't call it War Machine Weekend.
I mean, that's not possibly true. He could just sign it over because it was a willing handoff of everything.
Yeah, okay. No, it's a lot more complicated than what you guys are thinking. They're trying to make it so it's more of an actual legitimate convention. Not saying that War Machine Weekend wasn't
a
legitimate convention.
They're trying to expand it.
But they're trying to make it so it's like an Adepticon where it becomes an actual brand and business.
They have... capped out how many people will come for a War Machine only event.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's hypothetically in our future, another 5-10 years down the line as well. You know, we'll see how things go.
What, for the podcast?
No. Oh, for ATC.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Say for the podcast, we'd have to start playing War Machine.
Yeah.
Some of us play War Machine. At least two of us at this table play War Machine.
Yeah. I played two games of War Machine today.
Yeah. Dan, do you still play?
I'm at like one game a week right now.
Oh.
I have a large backlog of video games, and it's cold out.
Speaking of which, not the video games and coldness, but the War Machine, Grimkin Kid.
Yes.
We can talk about Grimkin Kid.
I did not pay attention to it because I don't pay. I don't have any Grimkin.
There's a monkey.
You know, Andy, we can play my favorite game.
There's a frog. The frog is pretty awesome.
I know that there's like five models, and right. then there's six technically because there is the clockwork.
Let me pull it up so we can play my favorite game to ever do with Lewis, which is that this shit does what?
Yeah, and there's all the changes they made. Like they changed that one model to do that thing.
Oh,
and then that other unit they changed also in that way.
And that theme got updated to include a new model.
Yeah, Dan and David will talk about it in more depth.
There's only five
don't
models.
Bring
don't
out your
and the don't, only the only change they changed nothing else and well except the clockatrice.
This is payback for
don't Gwent. Don't hit the what the hell are you guys going? Doing?
Taking over.
Oh fuck!
This way, the people who care about the CID will be in the middle, and they can talk.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that we can just eject.
Like, I'm out.
Here, the latest podcasting technology here.
Mm-hmm. Just the eject button. No.
Nathan, yep. You'll even be able to put in some great reactions to this as well.
Ooh.
Because the first model, a unit attachment for the Naslayers, the small base cavalry. It is the Naslayer Warhorse, a large-based, cav unit attachment.
Yeah, because it's always so easy for the rules when you take different size units and attachments
and put.
It's an awesome-looking model, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it fits.
It's a giant rocking horse.
Yeah, it's a giant rocking horse that the Naslayers ride on.
All the models looked, because they released, basically, I think, 3D renders for almost all the models in there.
Yeah.
We haven't seen one yet. One is a May release. The other four we've seen, I think.
The toad, whatever the toad guy is.
Yeah, Baron Tunglick.
He's got to have, that hat has got to be separate. If it's separate, it's going to be amazing.
They weren't sure on the live stream.
Oh, somebody asked that?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Because that hat is basically Wrong Eye's hat, Nathan.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw Tunglick.
Yeah.
Oh, also, it's a bit of announcements, but Pavlo did say they are looking into switching Brüwerhoog and Phil Evandro's abilities, just because fluff-wise it makes more sense.
Just roll them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit of Gwent thing. They gave the dwarf the ability that synergized with all the elves, and they gave the elf the ability that synergized with all the dwarves, and everybody's like, so they might switch their abilities. That's all.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Like that's at the range of was that a typo?
Yeah. Huh?
That's at the range of was that an accidental transposition?
Yeah.
Anyways, so the Warhorse, he gives them grievous wounds or continuous fire and flame burst or annoyance and parry.
Yeah. I mean,
so is this the newest update too? Because that came out on was it?
There's only been one.
Only one update so far. Okay.
They have said that this is a good indication of what they're wanting to do for CID scope going forward. So there's zero legacy model changes. The only theme changes are putting some of the new models in themes, and it's just five models.
Well, I mean, this is kind of a weird situation because Grimkin only has two themes, and one of them is really good, and the other one is kind of questionable.
It's still good, but it's very unforgiving compared to the other one.
Yeah,
Bump, that's the good one.
Bump is the infantry one. It's still good, but it is very unforgiving compared to Dark Menagerie, which is I run five heavies forward and
That's the one where the child is correct. Like, I'm insane. Okay.
Yeah.
Dark Menagerie is one of those lists that it's like everybody is concerned about how the Grimkin player is going to play Dark Menagerie and what casters, because right now, I mean, most of the competitive pairings seem to be double Dark Menagerie. That will probably change. That will probably change with these because the stuff that comes out in the CID really increases the ways you can play Bump in the Night and do it effectively. Yeah.
Yes, I am Raven. Yes, I am.
So what I if I had the proper equipment here, I could have actually put that over the stream too.
I'm on your network. For what it's worth.
It's fine.
It should be fine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right.
So it doesn't take a lot to just access the Diablo leaderboards. Yeah. That's all it's doing.
No, but I'm saying like I could have actually
picture in picture this shit.
Yeah.
I can just hold it up on the bottom of the camera.
Okay, there we go.
All right, yeah, now play it.
Yep.
All right, there we go.
Yep.
Keep right. on playing it like that.
Yep.
The second one is the piggyback officer, who is good because he lets the piggybacks move faster and gives them bulldoze and something else. However, I do not like him for one reason, which is he's going to make me clean my gaming closet out because I've lost a unit of piggybacks.
Somewhere in your closet?
Because for a year and a half, they were irrelevant.
They're really bad. They're still like with the one die damage and stuff like that. Like they're not changing that. They're just adding these new models.
Correct. Basically, the big thing is he has a defensive action mini feat, which is the Iron Fang Pikeman mini feat.
Oh, sure, sure.
So it's the Iron Seal then or the Shield Wall?
The Shield Wall and Move 5.
Oh, no, the Shield Wall Move 5.
After you charge, shield move 5 inches and Shield Wall 1. So instead of only being able to move, you know, 5 inches a turn, they can then charge threaten sign 10 inches away and then shield wall forward.
Another 5 forward. Yep. And
or back 4.
Correct.
Or back 5.
Yep. Yeah. And then they also have retaliatory strike, which, you know, is not nothing, and bulldoze, which helps. Mm-hmm. So it's fine.
What's their power on?
13.
13? That's pretty legitimate for retaliatory. Retaliatory strike, is that after they make their initial attack against you?
Retaliatory strike is after you've been hit.
Okay. All right.
Yep. But they probably, at armor 17, or was it 17 or 19, depending on if you have a death knell and impervious flesh, they'll probably take more than one hit to kill them. So.
Sure. Yep. Yeah.
All right. The next one, my favorite model from this, the Malady Man unit. A two-man unit, a large base organ grinder, and a small base monkey.
The monkey's a separate bit you can get?
Yes.
Well, better be.
Who actually does look like you could actually play barrel monkeys with.
Yes!
And he has...
The monkey can go berserk through things.
People are talking about Baron Tunglick, but I think the Malady Man, the monkey, and the organ grinder are the real stars of the CID.
So the game that I played with Rick, the monkey being defense 15 with an additional -2 to attack rolls.
Because monkeys always have a -2 to attack rolls.
Because they bite you.
Yeah. Monkey bite.
Yep. So that under Starcrossed was pretty impressive because Rick needed a 12 under Starcrossed to hit me with his Dracodile.
Who says Bure argues with the pronunciation of it, and it's like, no, it can't be a Malady Man because he has a top hat, not a fedora.
I want to see Dave try to object because he can't.
To be fair, the Malady Men don't have fedoras either, so they're not against inaccurately depicting what hat wear they're wearing. It's a goddamn trilby. They are very different hats.
Okay, it's a top hat anyway. It's not a trilby either.
No, but my point is they are wearing trilbies and claiming they are fedoras. They can wear a top hat and claim it's a fedora too. They don't understand how hats work because they're idiots.
Sounds like you worked at a haberdashery.
Incel mosquitoes spread malaria.
All right, Baron Tunglick.
He's
a good caster attachment. He's got parlay. He's got spell slave. He's got a range 3 auto consume.
People are talking about the range 3 auto consume, but it's like if you have spell slave and parlay, you're not going to use the consume.
It's nice to have when you need it.
Correct. When the Lord of the Feast comes berserking in, but can't hit my caster because of parlay, and then gets auto consumed the next turn.
Yeah. I mean, you have to hit, right? I mean, it's a to hit on on hit auto consumes.
Yes.
Does Tongue Whip have like a boost mechanic?
Five. No.
He has no boost mechanic, so he might get up
to
a 7.
Hold that thought, though.
I can do.
All right. So, you know, that's Tongue Whip. Oh, yeah, he also can fart and make a cloud.
Finally, we have the Grave Ghoul.
And he doesn't play for minions, which is bullshit. He's a frog. He's a demon frog.
Fine.
Someone asked Oz that on the stream.
Okay, fine.
Finally, we have the Grave Ghoul, who collects corpses from friendly models within 5.
Sure.
Actually, friendly or enemy models within 5, and you can kill your own models to gain corpses.
Sure.
And then he can force rerolls on friendly or enemy models within 9.
Huh.
So it fixes accuracy, or if you're playing the Wanderer, when you finally get through that Starcross Nina 13 hit, I make you do it again.
That's rude. Once per roll, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah, but still. Yeah.
He can hold 5 corpses.
Wait, no, so he forces rerolls on friendly or enemy?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate forced rerolls.
And he can dig.
That was one of the reasons why I hate to play against Morvana too.
Yeah, like I said, this is the Wanderer interaction with this guy is a little rough.
Oh, what's the FA on this guy?
Two.
Yeah.
And he can dig in. Yeah, dig in other models.
Including the battle engine, which they have confirmed does work, although it does nothing. There's no rule that says to dig in. You cannot dig in a battle engine.
But it doesn't get covered because of, yeah, sure.
So they said
it wouldn't do nothing.
Correct.
It would do something massive.
It does change line of sight.
It changes the fuck out of line of sight. If you dig in that battle engine, it does not block line of sight. That is huge. You could have your caster behind it. Yes. You could dig in that battle engine, like shoot over it, and then move the battle engine a billionth of an inch to undig in.
Oh, it is friendly non-warlock faction unit. Because I was going to say that would be pretty impressive if you could dig.
No,
in
you can't
the
dig
other
in
guys.
The opponent stuff. No, that would be bullshit. That's foxhole. But digging in your battle engine to see through it—that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was how I got. That's how I won with Durgan a few times.
I mean, sure. That's how everyone ever won with Siege in Mark II.
Yeah.
Yeah. Durgan as well, as you would have Terran shoot your own battle engine, and then you shoot right over. Yeah. Yep.
So anyways, that's the entirety of the CID.
Yep. Really?
Yep.
Just the new stuff?
Yep.
None of the old stuff changed at all?
They changed the Clockatris a little bit.
Oh, yes. And the Clockatris Animus is now range 6 and cost 1.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of what I expect out of there is CID.
They're slowing it down a bit. Nah. I am also not sure if they are intending this to be the final scope of or if they're also being a little kind to Jeff on his first week of the job.
And I mean, also, as I said, I mean, this is Grimkin that Dark Menagerie works really well, and Bump doesn't need a whole lot, and they just kind of added the stuff for Bump and mostly in command attachments.
And now Grimkin is almost caught up to Convergence.
Yeah. As part of this, they should just throw in that Pharaoh Heavy War Beasts don't have to force to use their dials. You know, just put that in as part of the CID.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're trying to get away from doing that, though. But I agree with you
entirely.
I
would allow it.
It is awfully annoying that they just can't. It's like, I have to hurt myself to
but Arcadia
turn a dial.
Fine. Okay. Can't I have good things?
Well, if you're playing minions, you play gators, and you have lots of good things.
And gators suck.
Rask disagrees with you.
Reach the computer and slap you.
No, I do like Rask battle friends. That list. I'm undefeated with that list in Mark III.
Can you fit the fifth junior in that one?
No.
Okay.
No, I cannot. I don't.
Fifth junior.
Yeah, Meyer.
Meyer. Yeah.
Well, I was played.
But Meyer doesn't have his own.
He does not.
Anybody.
Sure.
No. Well, yes, he does. He takes a Black Hat Wrestler because you're always going to see him with the Wrestler. That's his. That's his personal beast.
The issue is that he can't be even though he's not as expensive as the other ones, because he's a lesser warlock, he can't be a free solo in that list. The points in that list are too tight to pay for him. If I could take him for free, I would just like drop, you know, Alton Ashley or something and put him in there and then move the Black Hide off of Rask onto him, but it doesn't work.
Got it.
I think it's worth it because of everything Meyer brings to that.
You think that literally impossible to do is worth it? I'll look into that then.
What do you mean literally impossible?
I literally can't fit him in the list.
Okay.
Because he's not free.
Okay. Okay. So I'm sorry. You were talking about a specific list. I was talking about a specific Super Friends build. I was just talking about the general.
No. The question was if you could fit the fifth lesser in there, and the answer is no. You can't.
Yes, you cannot.
I mean, you could if you like. Cheat. If you or
you played 100 points.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But no, yeah, he'd be worth it at literally illegal. That's true.
Yeah, I've.
And unfortunately, that means Brun.
Has anybody. I know Norbert was talking about doing stuff like this, of having the 50 point challenge. Have you guys who still play on a regular basis thought about building?
What's the 50 point challenge?
Of just keeping games at 50 points.
Oh, fuck it.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I don't know.
75 points is like if you have a well-built list, it covers enough of the. It covers the. In my experience, it covers the right proportion of the board.
The Europeans have this weird obsession with lower point value games to hamstring themselves, like it's some haiku-esque art through limitation. Because remember, they did the 42 point games back in Mark II instead of
42
the
42 or 60 something.
Well, because there was 35 and 50 were the standard size, and everybody played at 50,
Germans,
but they did 42 instead.
42 was better.
Fuck you. Just play 50.
Yeah.
Just play 70. That's my response.
I mean, in fairness, half the European, well, I won't say half the Europeans, but there are still Europeans out there having, you know, comp hangover from the Warhammer Fantasy days.
Sure.
Comp.
Oh, come on. You remember the 30-page document that was 100% solvable?
No. That was honestly pretty much the absolute reason why I got out of Warhammer Fantasy.
I mean, it's one of the reasons all of us got out of Warhammer Fantasy.
Yeah, is comp is stupid. Having other people that do not... I mean, I'm okay with a company basically... I mean, pretty much ADR.
Sure.
That is comp.
That's comp if comp was actually done...
With the designer, not
correct. When you have the players declare what, then it's no longer like if everybody actually did it validly and correctly, like sportsmanship and comp and stuff. That's fine. But when it's literally just in, everyone votes on who gets to win the tournament because the system's fucked. If you actually are a dick, that's what ruins it.
Correct. Especially, yeah. I mean, the fantasy one was also just bad because it was objectively solvable.
Correct.
So this is. I mean, I tried to get started in Warhammer Fantasy a couple of times, and one time when I was living in New York, I put a list together of stuff that I wanted to play, and I showed it to some of the people that played and looked at it and said, oh, yeah, that's a great list, but nobody would play you. I was like, okay, fuck this. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's...
I've told the story before, too, is where somebody that I know that was playing a full-on Empire force, and he decided he wanted to make it all cavalry-based, and as part of his Empire force, he wanted to have cannons because, well, Empire loves cannons. And he took the Galper guns that were the mobile cannons that are actually weaker than all of the Empire guns on there. Like, yeah. Those guns did like D3 damage. They're like dwarf guns as compared to normal cannons of D6 or the Hellblaster, which is I fire 18 auto-hitting shots that just murder everything.
Yeah, I mean, but then it blows up.
Yeah. His army, which is taking the Galper guns from a Merc list, was comped lower than if somebody had taken like two Hellblasters in their list.
Mm-hmm. Or Robert's all Graveguard list that completely broke that system.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's so subjective, mm-hmm. The comp. It's so annoying to deal with, and I'm so glad that...
And that's the issue with... That's the issue with GW's games, is that they have this spirit of sportsmanship and gentlemanly play in them, and their games aren't written that way, and they just don't work. And they said, I could have fun playing 40K.
We could play 40K and probably enjoy it.
And that's the thing. Like,
the four of us in this basement.
When Halo first came out, one of my buddies came up to visit me. He brought his Xbox, and we stayed up till 4 a.m. just putting grenades under a warthog and then jumping in it and flying through the air when the grenade exploded. We did that for like 6 hours, laughing our asses off. That doesn't mean it's a good game. It just means you can have fun doing shit.
Warthog tag was a good game.
What was the same? We weren't doing it to each other's warhogs. We were just like, oh, I'll put the grenades down this time. It was like a ride at
sure.
It was like getting in the slingshot ride at the fair.
We would do it 4-player. You'd have a driver and a grenadier in each warthog. And you were trying to sticky grenade the other one.
We weren't even doing that. We were both getting into the same warthog after covering it with grenades to see how high we could fly up into the air. Whatever, it's fun, but it doesn't mean it's a well-designed game.
I mean, it was a very bloated loader for Warthog Tag.
Yeah.
I would say that the games for Games Workshop are written perfectly well for the English audience.
Sure.
Because they are in that mindset of, you know, hey, we're going to sit down. We're going to push some models across the table, throw some dice, et cetera, et cetera.
The instant a single person gives a shit, it all falls apart.
Yeah.
Well, that's
the problem.
The American mindset.
There are British tryhards, right?
Sure. Yeah, I say it's called Scots.
Yeah. But they didn't try too hard. If they did, they'd be free.
I would say the American tournament audience is a little bit more hardcore.
I apologize to any Scottish listeners out there. Seriously, why didn't you vote for... Oh, well, I know why. They lied to you and said that you get to stay in the EU, and then they changed their mind with Brexit. I apologize for that. Why did you trust the British?
Has that ever worked out well for
anyone? It's never worked out for you, the Scots. Or, when you were voting for freedom like 2 years ago, and they're like, stick Nathan, with us and you'll stay in the EU.
That was 4 years
four
ago.
4 years. It was 2 years ago was Brexit. That's right. 4 years ago, they said, stick with us, you'll get to stay in the EU. You believed them.
It was 2015.
You believed him.
So it was 3 years ago.
No.
It's 2019 now.
2019 now. Yes.
But like, it hasn't been 4 complete years, but whatever. The point is, you shouldn't have trusted him.
That means we only have 1 year left.
You're an optimist.
But I would say the American audiences for tournament players, you know, really kind of, like I said, tryhards.
I saw a thing once where someone, you know, right when it happened in 2016, someone's like, oh God, the next 8 years. And then somebody just talked about that eight slowly rotating 90 degrees.
And that was, I heard the story of when, like in the early 90s, when they had the first invitational tournament for Warhammer, that they invited American players to come over to Britain, and the comment,
Jervis was so confused.
The comment, I think, from Jervis was, "Wow, the Yanks play for keeps."
Yeah, I mean, my favorite moment ever with the Jervis thing was in Blood Bowl when they were going through the competition rules pack, like originally when they were first doing the season, basically fourth edition, when they were working on it. There was an American player or somebody ended up creating a gutter runner that had two movement upgrades on it, and it was one turn scoring on Jervis. And Jervis came into the chat and he's like, "We need to get rid of this. Yeah. This can't exist. We can't have one turn scoring Skaven gutter runners."
But
the thing is though, this is a rule set that he put in place that have been in there for
but he never bothered to do
10,
it.
15 years before he's like, "No, this has to go."
But you see that all the time, not just with that. First of all, Chad has a good recommendation. F is for Family is great. But I played the demo for there was a little board game that Fantasy Flight put out where like you went in this dungeon. It was a tile flip over exploration where you all were individual adventurers going to this dragon's lair, and you know it was the standard grab all the loot, get out, whoever gets out with the most loot wins.
That's
and we sat down. This was one like Quest? That. No, but it's okay, that style of game. Okay. There's lots of games like that now, but this was not that particular one. But this one was square tiles that went out as you explored, and we started the four of us, and somebody went north and like got shot with an arrows or whatever, and everybody else just followed them into that room. And they're like, "Well, why don't you guys go all your each individual way?" And they're like, "Well, fuck that. I'll follow that guy, and he'll set off all the traps and get killed, and then I'll just loot his corpse." And they just, like, were baffled. They were fucking baffled. And I'm like, has this really never occurred? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, has this really never occurred to any of you guys? And they're like, "No, we just assumed you'd all go the other way." It's like, you need to play test your games like assholes, because assholes are going to play your game.
Correct. Well, yeah. But stress test, play test, QA stuff is expensive.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to get assholes to play. Just when you sit down to play, go, "What if I was just a complete sociopath?" Yeah, I was Drakon. "Well, if I was a complete sociopath, what would I do?" And you need to try that.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that? Was it?
You were going to say something. Yeah, because okay. you tried to say something.
Because I was saying something, not because I'm an asshole. Or both.
Both?
Okay.
In this particular case, yes. You know.
Was it PlayerUnknown's Battleground or Fortnite that they had a big national game for money, and they said it was unwatchable because everybody played completely differently when there was actually anything on the line.
Sure, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's.
But yeah, that was the other thing, is I played a lot of Descent first and second edition, and it was like you look up and you read, and it's like, okay, this is how you play Descent the best way, and it's like you load up somebody with a shield in both hands, and then you just run through and have them pick up all of the treasures, then die, and then the rest of the party that gets all of their treasures goes and kills all the monsters. You're looking at it, and it's like, this is anti-thematic.
Yeah,
It wasn't a playtest thing. I played the Game of Thrones board game at Gen Con 1 year. And it wasn't like a tournament or anything. It's just they had it at their booth. And they're like, "Hey, come play the game." So we were playing it. And part of that game is there's a wildling track that builds up. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, you'd have like a vote where like you spend influence to like get higher on certain tracks and stuff. And then when the wildlings attack, you could spend that same influence as a group to defeat the wildling attack. And whoever put the most towards the bid get a benefit. And if you don't beat the wildlings because you don't have enough power as a group, everybody loses some troops. And the wildlings attacked, and we had plenty of influence amongst the group. And then the Fantasy Flight guy's like, "All right, guys, figure out how you're going to spend the money to beat them." And I'm just going, "No, I'm not gonna." And he's like, "Well, you guys have to beat the wildlings." I'm like, "Says who? We don't have to."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am tactically choosing to allow the wildlings to win because I feel that the negative effects are going to hit my opponents harder than they're hitting me. And again, it blew his fucking mind.
Yeah.
In the entire history of that game, no one at Fantasy Flight Games had ever considered the possibility of choosing not to beat the Wildlings.
And that's honestly why you need to playtest these things, though, too. Because then,
or just
then,
don't give it an option.
Yeah, I mean, that's there. You go back. You're like, well, we had this one player that did this. We're like, well, we need to make a rule so that doesn't happen.
Or you just play the game with humans and not us.
Yeah,
is you can't not do the bad things in the bad thing deck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, nah, I'll have to fuck them. Yeah. I'm losing two guys. Dan's losing four. I'm going to kick Dan's ass. And they just had, they could not fathom that. It's that mindset.
Yep.
Yeah, and they can't even claim that you weren't being thematic.
I was definitely being thematic. It's like, let the Starks take the brunt of the attack. Nope. True story. The end. The more you know. The rainbow. Oh, no, it's a rainbow. It's a shooting star.
Shooting star with a rainbow behind it.
You more knowing. But neither of those times was the time I got to make the demo guy cry.
So the take-home lesson here is that whenever you have a playtester group, make sure it is populated primarily by assholes, or your playtester group is not going to work correctly.
Correct. Correct.
Nathan's upset because he can't read it from that.
I can read it. It says playtest board games in a question mark with really bad handwriting.
Yeah.
Like, playtest is made entirely out of like Sanskrit symbols.
No, I can read.
Well,
it.
Now there's a pen in the way.
Good.
Aw, rude.
So, do we have anything else other than?
Like, there was at least one Zupa Grapple. I saw. Yeah, I saw one.
I actually have a Zappy Grumble type question for the cast as well.
Yeah. Uh-oh. See, Dan's got a Zappy Grumble.
Which I actually thought about just posting on the chat. But
when you post it?
I was lazy.
Well, quick, Dan. Get on your phone and post it.
I could, but then I'm going to get like probably four notifications from me posting on my own post.
Fair.
But no. Actually, I stole this from a Reddit thread as well.
Oh, no. Reddit.
Talking about the Dune casting. You know,
wait, that's my phone. What? I cracked the case.
I thought that's when you dropped it.
It's when a Hungerford hugged me. Nope, son of a bitch.
I thought you replaced that. Or just
yeah, I did, and then this one got cracked for unrelated reasons, and so I put a case onto it.
What do you mean? That was when Hungerford threw your phone at my foot.
When he kung fu paint the fence to me. Like,
he's like, I'm going to give you a hug.
And then just bam. Spin my hands. And
it was a Cajun hug. It was spicy.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But anyways, so like I said, going back to our Dune topic, a lot of people online were talking about, you know, their ideal Dune casting. But then someone asked a great question of, what is the worst possible casting decision you can make for the Dune movie?
Well, you know, with the thing, I'm still, I think we talked about this last week, and I'm going to stick with it. Any of the people I mentioned last week would be great. And by great, I mean terrible for Fade. So give me Wallace Shawn or Gilbert Gottfried as Fade.
I think if we're going to go with singers, I think we can go...
Oh, they have to be singers, sure.
Yeah. Then we should go with the dude from Puddle of Mud. He should be Fade.
Come on, it'll be fine.
He's not in jail.
Wait, but we're Guy supposed Fieri to... is Baron Harkonnen.
Who?
Guy Fieri.
That'd be awesome.
I could actually.
That would be fucking awesome.
I get a total Harkonnen vibe off of Guy Fieri.
I love Guy Fieri.
That
one.
I think he's have Justin Bieber as
Diners, Drive-ins, and Dunes.
No makeup either. He's still wearing the fucking white, dude, the white
with
tip.
The backwards fucking sunglasses.
Oh, fucking amazing. Oh, I would
Justin
love it.
Bieber as Paul.
Yeah.
Look up the Flavor Town.
Oh my god.
Raw filled with spices.
All right, David, you won this round.
Yeah, Guy Fieri Harkonnen is pretty amazing.
I like the guy. There's nothing wrong with Guy Fieri. Nothing wrong with him at all.
I have no problems with Guy Fieri the person. All right, Fieri the person. It's him the concept.
Yeah.
I don't know. He helps.
He is a decent person. However, the character he plays on TV, which is also named Guy Fieri.
I can see he probably hams it up for the television a little bit.
Sure. I also don't like the pronunciation of Fieri. There's a D in there, you dick. Or there's an R, whichever. He pronounces it wrong. Now I can't even remember which way it goes.
Well, it's like Favre. It's basically F-A-V-R-E.
Favre.
Yeah.
Favre.
No, it's Favre.
It's Favre. All right. Real Zappity Grumbles.
Real Zappity Grumbles. We have a couple of them here. What new game are you most excited for in 2019? Can be any game.
Cyberpunk 2077.
There's no guarantee that's going to be out in 2019.
It's what I'm excited for, and I'm excited for it in 2019. Sure. So the game I am most excited for in 2019 is Cyberpunk 2077. That's how that sentence breaks down.
Yeah, that's a 2020 probably.
Does it say what game released in 2019, or does it say what game am I most excited for in 2019?
You said it right, yep. You're right.
Cyberpunk 2077.
So I have to say that there are only two games in 2019 I'm particularly excited about. One of them is the new FromSoft game, which I am disappointed that it's not going to have multiplayer. But it's apparently Dark Souls with ninjas.
Oh, yeah. But the problem with that is that that's also the new Activision game.
Yeah, but I think From will do a better job. So
sure.
No, I mean, it's published by Activision, but it's made by that company. It's not saying that exactly.
If they
in the
make
same
a great Dark Souls game and then they put loot boxes in it, that's the issue.
Yeah.
FromSoft will make a great game and Activision will monetize it, and somewhere that's going to break down.
Yeah. And Nathan is I'm getting sick of giving Activision money.
And the other one is the new Fire Emblem game for Switch is coming out, at which I've just acknowledged that I'm going to need to get a second Switch for my household.
Mm-hmm.
Death Stranding.
Sure. Yeah, I knew that was yours.
There's no guarantee that's out in 2019 either.
Copy Nathan's response. Control F. Yes. Control V.
In 2019.
Control F? Fine.
Oh, okay.
Control X, so it's no longer my stance. My opinion has changed.
Your opinion
has stripped
it gone
from my mind.
Yeah. So it's down to me for a game?
Yeah.
I'm looking for, I believe it's Outer Realms. Outer Worlds.
Oberdin?
No.
Did you say Oberdin?
No. That was last year.
Oberdin?
But you're excited for it now.
No, I'm not. No.
Gungadin?
It's Obsidian's new
yeah,
game.
Yeah,
yeah. Outer Planets, is it?
No.
It's Outer Planets.
Outer Worlds.
Is that Outer Worlds or is that Outer Planets?
It's not Planets. Planets is a dumb word for dumb people.
Okay.
Outer... Not Our. God damn it, computer.
But I am excited for that. I mean, the
Outer Worlds.
The okay, so the
I'm
yeah,
just
the,
verifying it. Yeah, with no. The Googles.
But the trailer for it just screams of screams completely of Borderlands.
And the gameplay mechanics that they've revealed are actually all incredibly interesting to me.
Yeah, it
like
looks,
the phobia perk system is neat, you know.
But there's no, you know, babies in a jar.
How do you know? There might be.
Because no one else is insane enough to do that.
Yeah.
That is true. That is, like, you can tell a Kojima story.
Which reminds me, he's got a Netflix thing coming out soon that I'm going to have to check out.
Oh, somebody in chat did mention Dunecast, Paul Atreides, played by Jack Gleason, which was Jeffrey from Game of Thrones. When I saw that, I was thinking Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
Bang! Zoom!
Right into the dune.
Well, because Muad'Dib is on the moon, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Bang! Zoom! Right to Muad'Dib!
Yeah.
So he'd be good for Stilgar. All right. What else we got?
Zappity Grumble.
One of these days, Alia. One of these days.
She's like two.
Yeah, well, she could still kick his ass. Yeah. She's a weird, you know, genetic memory monstrosity.
Sure. Han Solo is a Force user. Change my mind.
No. And that can be an answer to either of those halves of the question. Yeah. Your choice. No, he's not, or no, I'm going to change your mind. I'm equally.
He's not a Force user. Is kind of the point.
Here, I will solve
or
the problem.
Or maybe the point is that he doesn't understand that he's a Force user. He thinks he's rejecting it, but it's all subconscious.
I will go with this. If you have that opinion, there's nothing I can say that can change your mind. Yeah. You're already into too deep.
You can't. You can't reason somebody out of a position they didn't reason their way.
Who is a force user and somebody who is actually force sensitive is two different things.
That's a good point.
Yes.
I'm going to go with they did not explicitly spell it out in the prequel story that even explained his fucking name, so it can't be true because there's literally no aspect of his personality that isn't in that film.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Nothing isn't in that movie.
I haven't watched it yet, so I have no opinion. I mean,
it's not terrible, but that's the worst part of it.
Did they include Harrison Ford disdain for the character?
I believe so. Like, as a post-credit sequence, they just had Harrison Ford show up and go, fuck this guy, and then just leave.
I don't know. Well, I guess I have to watch it. But all the trailers I've seen of it, he has seemingly feels like he has some of the mannerisms of Harrison Ford.
It's a perfectly fun film.
It's a perfectly fun film.
It just had a hard-on for explaining everything. Yeah. Ever. Mm. Everything about
everything that Star Wars normally is, I mean, they don't explain shit to us.
All of Han Solo's stories, every single thing that's happened to him, every single one of them takes place in that one story because they couldn't resist it.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about having the whiteboard that you never brought in with all the Solo
and it's
Solo stories.
Literally everything.
No, that's.
Meeting Chewie, meeting Lando, getting the Millennium Falcon, doing the Kessel Run.
Losing the Falcon.
Huh?
Oh, wait, that was Lando.
Hmm?
I said sleeping with the droid.
Sure, yeah.
Well, no, that was Nathan's primary complaint with the movie, was that they only alluded to robot sex and that there wasn't enough actual robot sex in the movie.
Correct, actually.
With sex robot?
Sex robot, sex robot, sex robot, sex robot.
We're going to get demonetized again.
We have to make money first.
We have to have somebody who actually posts our videos instead of like unleashing seven of them at a time on our.
Hooray!
You were not kind to my notifications on Facebook this week.
Someone in chat played at Return of the Obra Dinn. I have succeeded in proselytism.
Yeah, we have another fan who listens to the podcast, Ryan, who doesn't play any of the games. Or stuff that we do, but he just likes listening to the podcast only on YouTube.
Okay.
And he gets upset at me when I post like five episodes at a time on YouTube.
Someone has to.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Zebby.
Zebby, crumble.
That was it. Right. I didn't see any others. I could check Twitters, but I didn't see any others. Anybody have any recommendations?
You should all come and see us at the ATC.
That's true.
Everybody that's listening. Even the guy that doesn't even play War Machine, he should come to the ATC and hang out.
As I reminded Don this morning, or this week, like,
not just come hang out. Yeah. It's just a hotel. Come by and say hi.
The bar will sell you money, even if you're not actually.
They sell money.
Sell you booze, even if you're not.
And the bar is in the same room as the gaming hall, so you don't even have to leave. You can come and hang out with us, whether we're running the event or playing in the event, drink there.
Correct. As I explained to Don, depending on how we number the tables, if you're on tables 1 or 2, or 15 and 16, you might be able to reach the bar from your table.
Correct. Yep. You can just lean back and grab booze.
I also like to formally announce that I take bribes. So at the ATC, as an unbiased coach or unbiased judge, I will take bribes.
And I would like to formally announce that I will be judging it alone.
I would also like to announce I will share some of my bribes with Nathan.
I will formally announce that I am not judging at all.
What?
Travis will help.
Travis is playing.
No, he's not. No. He played in the WITC. He's not playing in the ATC.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I ran the WITC alone, but he's going to help with the ATC.
Okay. Oh, there's more people there for this. And then we begin plans for the WITC.
Yeah, eventually.
You are so optimistic.
What, after this?
Yeah, it's like May.
You think we plan?
Well, I mean, I
we book the room and then a week before it go, fuck!
True story.
Mm-hmm.
I have chat logs to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my recommendation. Game Subnautica.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It is very enjoyable, although I'm not sure if I'd actually recommend playing it on VR. I haven't tried it, but I don't know, I don't think I would be able to handle that, mostly with the random things coming and grabbing you from the dark.
Subnautica is basically Minecraft underwater?
Yes.
Okay.
With enough of a story to keep you moving.
What? What do you mean? Minecraft has all the story. Just get in your house at night to avoid the monsters and then build shit.
Like I said,
how do you beat Minecraft?
Yeah, actually, you can. You can.
Minecraft and Subnautica actually have about the same amount of story. The difference is Subnautica tells you about it.
Yeah. Minecraft does have an end.
There are multiple levels you go down into, and you eventually get to the hell world and through portals and stuff. Like, all that stuff is in Minecraft 2. It just isn't told. You just have to
wait, there's a
it.
Minecraft 2?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Minecraft 2, the quest for more money.
Notch isn't rich enough. Now.
No, Notch isn't sold it all.
Yeah, for billions of dollars.
Correct. So now he has enough money to just be a racist fuckhead.
Yeah.
How convenient.
God, I can't read it all. When Raven had mentioned that Subnautica will also get DLC soonish, when I looked at the text there for a second, I thought it said Subnautica will also get a dick soon.
Or a CID.
CID.
Subnautica CID.
Prawn OP.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, I know it was on the list for a lot of people's Game of the Years for last year. For dick pics, yes. The list for pics, dick pics. Yeah. What?
What? What?
Zappity.
Oh.
Sorry, we just fucked over Dan's recommendation entirely.
Subnautica, good stuff. Yeah, great oldies.
And also, on a side note, Dave, that was the reason why I was not at War Machine today, was because I was continuing to play Subnautica.
Oh, I thought you were talking about sending out dick pics.
I can do that from the table.
You have been through the table. Oh, no!
Like one of the War Machine Facebook friends.
Travis likes him.
Disney copyrighted a picture of his crotch. So he's got that going for him. Because they took a picture like for the Star Wars minis game, so they took a picture of a game that he was playing, and of course he's standing, so his dick is just right there above the edge of the table, just bulging out of his pants, and so that's in the picture, and it's the little copyright in the corner. He's like, Disney just copyrighted my crotch.
Other recommendations? I'm gonna say one. I kind of recommend Night Flyers. That was on Sci-Fi at the beginning of December. Instead of coming out like weekly, they decided to release everything all at once. So my DVR only caught half of them, and I had to wait for until they were on demand on my television service provider.
Rude.
But it is... I'm not comparing it to The Expanse, but it is probably the best sci-fi story since The Expanse that I've seen. It's really more of a sci-fi horror. The easiest way to explain it is it's The Shining in space.
Sure.
It's done well. It's well acted. It has a couple actors in there that I enjoyed.
Space vampires.
There's no space vampires.
Wait, so The Shining in space is just Event Horizon?
It's pretty much. Yeah.
We are getting off of this ship.
Yeah. It's
the smartest captain in any sci-fi movie ever is Lawrence Fishburne in Event Horizon. Just watch the video. We're leaving. Out. Fuck it all.
Maybe there are stereotypes that are involved in that statement as well. Huh? He was breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. You white people can stay on this ship. I'm getting the fuck home.
But it's a George R. Martin a novella that this was derived from. No, sorry.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, I have to drive all the way here every week.
Yeah, me too.
Why are you saying so poorly? You're like,
I have to walk here.
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah. I live on the east side of town.
I live in a different county.
You have made poor decisions, both of you.
That's true.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we bought a condo here like before we had ever lived in Madison and didn't realize that the west side was where everything happened.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The east side is where all the shootings
happen.
No, the east
side, I was going to say, the crime all happens on the east side. That's very exciting. I don't ask because mine kind
of
sucks.
One of many potential reasons why the east side is cheaper.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cheat because I have two that are basically announcements, so I'm going to shoehorn them in as repeat recommendations just real quick because there's announcements to them. And then my actual recommendation is related to what Andy just said, which is also why I want to go. So firstly, Brooklyn Nine-Nine season premiere just happened. So back on air, watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, bitches. Great show.
High ratings.
And now being on NBC, it's back-to-back with The Good Place. So watch both of those fucking shows. Sure. Catch up on both of them through Hulu or whatever you need to, and then watch both of them.
You don't really need to catch up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but The Good Place, I hear, is a continuous storyline.
Yeah, I mean, although ironically, you could just jump in, like, whatever. But those are both great shows, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine just is re-airing and is back-to-back with us to do that.
Produced by the same folks, aren't they?
I don't know.
Because they had, like, a trailer that I saw that said, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, produced by the folks that brought you The Good Place. And then they showed a commercial for The Good Place, brought to you by the folks that brought you... Like
those commercials would know better than I, so I will say yes based on that information. Second announcement / retroactive repeat recommendation is that there was a new patch for Gwent that just dropped this week that changed a few mechanics that was really neat. So previously when the new version of Gwent launched, you know how I had mentioned that they basically do a point system like War Machine to build your decks? And the leaders were balanced by having different numbers of mulligans.
Sure.
They have changed that. The mulligans are all same. Everybody gets 2 mulligans per round, and the different leaders bring different amount of points to build your list with, a la Warjack and War Beast points in War Machine.
Sure, they went to the easier to balance mechanic.
They went to the easier to balance mechanic. The less mechanically interesting mechanic, but the far easier to balance mechanic. The leaders that literally had 0 mulligans, But yeah, so that was just a patch that changed and made the game even better again.
How is the single player in that? Is it okay? I heard
there's no like quest modes like Hearthstone has, which is kind of a shame. When seasons roll around, they tend to have like little mini games, but even those are like usually just like 3 or 4 puzzles you do once each and then you're done.
Okay.
They don't have like the temple runs that Hearthstone has right now, which is really the one thing that's a shame. It's pretty much an online or nothing game, which I can get, you know, not appealing to some people. But the new patch fixed a lot of mechanics, so it's really, really good. And then my actual new recommendation that ties with what Andy said is the Expanse board game.
Sure.
The Expanse board game is really fucking good. You don't have to have played the Expanse to play it. It's a 4-player work, you know, influence placing game, and it's super good. What are you making with the facial expressions?
You don't have to have played the Expanse.
You don't have to have watched the Expanse. You don't have to have watched the Expanse to play it. Thronebreaker is a full single-player RPG with multiple branching storylines, more moral decisions, and everything like that that uses Gwent as the battle mechanic within it. So Thronebreaker is really fucking amazing if you want to have the Gwent gameplay in a single-player game. That is a great bring-up by chat there.
Oh, that's what I meant about that.
Right. Okay. But Thronebreaker is not just a free aspect of Gwent. Thronebreaker is a game you have to buy. I think it's $30. Oh. Maybe 20.
I have to pay for good content.
Yeah, it is really good. It does give you exclusive cards for Gwent as well.
Rabble.
But no, Thronebreaker is super good.
Speaking of cards for money, full buy-in for Artifact is down under $100.
Apparently, people are talking that it might go free to play because they lost like 75% of their player base in a month.
In a month.
In a week.
I think it was. They lost.
Like their first
lot.
Event was disastrous. And then after that, yeah, no, that game, I mean, I saw that shit coming.
Yeah. Have you heard about.
Let's be honest. You didn't think it was going to crash that quick.
Not that quick. No. I knew it was going to crash. It is hilarious, by the way, how many Gwent streamers said, fuck you, Gwent. I'm going to Artifact and have come slinking back to stream Gwent.
Have you heard about the more recent Blizzard? Shenanigans, Blizzard, Activision Blizzard.
Oh, that's true. We haven't had our...
Like sacking their CFOs, and then Activision and Bungie split up.
Well, the CFOs basically left, though.
Yeah.
But what Blizzard tried to say that they sacked their CFO before they got poached by somebody else.
Sure.
No, they sent out a survey out to all the Hearthstone players, basically asking them, like, you know, if we got rid of esports for Hearthstone, would you still play? It sounds like that they're trying to go through a lot of different cost-cutting measures, and I hope Hearthstone doesn't...
Didn't they just basically need the
Fallout 76?
Yeah, we need the weekly Fallout 76 update, which is that people found their dev room, and now they're just banning all kinds of people because of that shit.
Wait, what? Oh, so that is...
In a live MMO, people could get to the
dev room. In the live MMO, people have found the dev room where you can get, you know, infinite of every commodity and all the everything's in the game. You know how dev rooms are. They have found the dev room in the live MMO. And so they've started banning everybody whose characters do that. But they have only banning the accounts that get into there, but not accounts that then trade with those people. So you can make a dummy account, get into the dev room, loot it blind.
If you get out fast
enough. And then get out and then give it all to your main account. Also, in that dev room is a fucking human NPC. They were going to have human NPCs in the game.
Wait.
Okay. So
his name's like Subi or something.
Instead of just shutting down the dev room, they have people watching and zotting people, anybody that goes in there?
Yeah. They're account banning anyone who uses the dev room.
Wait. So why can't they just like...
Because Bethesda doesn't know how to program, David. Especially not an MMO. They don't know how to do this shit. No. That's why it's all in shambles already.
Let's be honest. They're not watching that. They're running a report once
a day. Oh, yeah. And they're blackmailing the people. So their account... Because they don't know how people are getting there. Because the people who have told, like, the people are being very secretive, telling each other how to get there. So they don't know how people are getting in the dev room, so they're banning people and then saying, if you tell us how you got there, not ban you.
Is this the write an essay to get unbanned thing? Or is that a different one?
That was a different one. But yeah, it's tell us how you got here. They're looking for snitches. They're looking for people to roll over for immunity and sell out the conspiracy.
How do they not have anybody who can figure that out themselves?
I don't fucking know, because...
Because QA costs money.
Because Bethesda doesn't know how to do anything.
Bethesda has never had a QA department.
You see, this is...
They have a QA department. It is like, does it boot? Yep, go.
No, that's what happens when you let the programmers test their own code.
Yeah. Their QA department is the people who play their game and mod it to work. And now those people are the people who can get into their dev room, and their own programmers can't, because their own programmers have never been the people who fixed their games after launch.
I'm wondering if that was an inside job that somebody showed somebody and then it just spread.
Someone was just dicking around and clipped through a floor somewhere because of how full of holes these games are.
Oh, hey, that does remind me. When playing Subnautica, save more than once an hour. Otherwise, your prawn falls through 1,000 meters of solid grok.
Well, there you go.
That was not good. Then my save corrupted and I lost an hour.
I don't know. How long is it before Bethesda is like, the question is like, okay, if you could tell us how to get here, we'll hire you.
I mean, the guy who made the Skyrim mod is still a third party. So,
yeah. I mean, Bethesda publishes games by other companies. Well, like Doom is for an example.
Sure,
Just their own first priority game or their
it's
their
just
own development.
Frustrating that they won't even take the fixes that people already do and apply it to their games.
Probably their legal department won't let them. Which is dumb.
Maybe, then cheat. Like, don't fucking release Skyrim on the Switch with game-breaking bugs that have already been fixed a decade ago by people.
Yeah.
If you can't use their exact fixes, look at how they did it and polish it enough.
I'm sure they would gladly
throw $100 at that person and say thanks.
Or even that.
Just think what they could do if they had a bug bounty program.
Make an addition into the credits and throw their name into that useless line of credits. So somebody could say, hey, look, I fixed the game. Look.
Yeah.
Just put their name in a credit. That's fine.
I don't.
Win-win.
I just don't understand.
They should do it for the exposure.
Yeah. Do it for the exposure.
Another artist who died of exposure.
I just do not understand how companies like this can be that bad at writing software. I have taught teenagers how to write software.
Somebody made Morrowind 20 years ago, and so Bethesda's just been re-releasing it with different coats of paint.
Can I change my Zappity Grumble answer from before? I was just sitting there thinking.
That means they have to reverse engineer and they can't even forward engineer.
I'm kind of excited to see what Bungie does with Destiny away from
Destiny
the coils.
Unchained. Yeah,
Destiny Unchained. I'm very curious because I really like the gameplay of Destiny.
The experience,
the
sucks.
Gun controls. Yeah. Some of the missions were fine, but sure. I mean the fact that once the second one came on, it was really just basically a funnel to go to their microtransaction.
Yeah, so I remember when Brian was very excited to play Destiny 2, and I almost got into it, and then something came up, and I didn't.
You're excited for Destiny's future for the same reason I'm not excited for the Dark Souls Samurai game. Because we want to see what games are like when Activision isn't forcing them to be monetized Correct. Piles of shit.
Yep. Yep.
When the company who trademarks Skinnerbox mental manipulation of their players isn't in control.
Yep.
Patent.
Not trademark. They'd trademark it too. They'd be proud of that.
I'm glad at least the games that I play with Blizzard aren't really full on microtransactions.
I mean,
like WoW is not exactly.
WoW is you really there's very little you can do with a other than I mean you can pay for money, but
sure.
All right. The only reason they added that was just to cut down on Chinese account hacking.
Yeah. Also, didn't Blizzard move Heroes of the Storm to Legacy?
No. Heroes of the Storm. From somebody the devs that they moved off of Heroes of the Storm weren't exactly their great devs.
Okay.
So that's
they just reshuffled the dev team and said that content will still be coming out, but at a different rate.
Obviously the esports of that will be going away. The shitty thing that they did though is they told all those esports people at BlizzCon that they were going to have another season.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody who's basically their job kind of requires to know that they just kind of.
They took our job.
Yeah, they kind of shit-canned them all when they made that announcement. And I'm hoping Hearthstone isn't in that same boat because Hearthstone. It was a lot of fun. All right, so I guess that's it.
All right.
Are we calling it?
Well, did David get to recommend something?
I recommended that everybody come to ATC and drink with us and hang out.
I mean, that's been the recommendation for the last 2 months.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You can do that. It's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Did you bring any food or vegetables with you to Mars?
2 weeks.
Fruit or vegetables. I know I said food. I meant to say fruit.
Food or vegetables?
Yeah, I said food or vegetables instead of fruit or vegetables because of brain damage.
That's probably why she went crazy. She probably heard food and vegetables. 2 weeks.
Man, that remake was not good.
No. I haven't even seen it, and I don't want... Maybe I have.
That's a sign of how bad that movie is that you can't even remember whether you've seen it or not.
Why is Colin Farrell in so many bad movies?
I don't know.
He's in a lot of bad movies.
I don't know. Will Ferrell's in a lot of bad movies, too. If your name's Farrell, you're just in a lot of bad movies.
The Farrelly Brothers.
They make a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, that they do.
Except for Three Stooges, which is awesome.
I mean, they've made some good movies as well, but they make a lot of bad movies also.
Spending habits, got to spend.
Chat asks if there's going to be a live stream at the ATC.
No, not this
year. It's mainly for conventions to really have access to a live stream.
It is annoying how much it costs to get that strong internet access. Yeah. I can hotspot off my phone. We can see how strong that is.
That room is a Faraday cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, we could record games and broadcast them afterwards, but unfortunately, just the cost measure for...
I don't know now that we legitimately have new owners, but the 1 year we asked, it almost doubled the price.
Correct. Next year, with the price changes we're going to do again, for if we can drop the price as much as we did this last month retroactively for people next year in cost, but keep the entry fee is really good now. What we did to drop the entry fee down a month ago was super solid. So if we can reduce the cost by that much again but keep the entry fee the same, that will probably be enough to get things like live streaming, some additional new table mats so we don't have to keep using the old sandpaper ones that we all know and love from old Privateer Press days. So that's the next step, is to do those cost-saving measures to increase prize support, increase things like live streaming, but that's a next year thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've gotten to the full capacity now. We're at the 32 people, or 32 teams. hypothetically go to 64 next year. We'll see. We could maybe see about doing a secondary Kickstarter, but I don't know that we want to go that route. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. The point is, we're getting there. Yep. We're getting there.
Yep. Once we, the main part is really just, I mean, most of us all have equipment that we could do a live stream. It's just more so securing that internet connection. Yeah. Yep. And hotels don't like to, they like to charge buku dollars for those.
I'll double check. You know, maybe like if maybe just the finals table, you know, like if, but
we
I don't know
secure
how much.
Like a time slot that we
Yeah, like if just on. Like for, if like, they hey, probably for 3 honestly, hours.
Be from the old owners said that it would require a special cabling.
Right. That's
which
the
means
issue.
If we did a time slot, it would be even worse.
No, I mean, fuck you then.
Yeah.
Well, they were under, see, with the old owners, though, they were still doing all that construction and
Correct.
Everything.
So,
you
like
know
I
what
said,
I mean?
You know, now that things have stabilized, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will continue to look into it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like I said, it's an extremely real possibility next year because if we continue to do the cost saving measures that we've looked into, we can keep the entry fees where they are or maybe even drop them a little. Like if instead of dropping them by like, you know, $25 per person and we drop them by $10 per person and then $15 per person goes towards these amenities, that could be huge.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. All right. I'm bailing.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
I'm out.
Back, bitches.